It was 4:35 a.m., January 8th. The place was Tupelo, Mississippi. The year was 1935, and Vernon Presley stepped outside of a small two-room house where he and his wife Gladys lived. His wife was very close to delivery of their child. As he stood out in the yard in the small, poor neighborhood, Vernon Presley later would swear at the time of the birth of Elvis, he saw a blue light shoot down from the heavens and surround the house. Shortly after that, he heard the sound of a baby crying, but all was not good. The midwife reported it was twins, and that one of them, Jesse Guerra, was stillborn, dead on delivery. It seemed almost as if this twin had given his life, all of the life force he had, to his brother Elvis. This would ensure Elvis would have a natural charisma and a magnetic personality and a talent that would change the world of music and entertainment the world over. Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to our 2010 series of Elvis, the man, his life, and his music, a tribute to the king. We open this new series here in January, 75 years after Elvis was born, with Elvis getting out of the army, returning home, first getting a TV appearance on the Frank Sinatra television show. Then Elvis would head for Hollywood, where he would make a series of movies. Most, in fact all, did very, very well at the box office. One of those movies was Blue Hawaii. It set a record for longevity on the Billboard album charts. Listen to this. It was on top of the chart, or at least in the top 100, for a year and a half. That's right, an unbelievable 18 months. And Blue Hawaii did very well at the box office. In addition, this exposure to the Hawaiian Islands, to Elvis Presley, started a love affair that would be important in the rest of his career. We'll get to that later, but right now let's listen to the title song from the motion picture Blue Hawaii.
Night and you and blue Hawaii. The night is heavenly, and you are heaven to me. Lovely you and blue. Loveliness, there should be love. Come with me while the moon is on the sea. The night is young, and so are we. With you.
Elvis did not make a top 10 movie list in 1960. But by 1961, his movie career was going gangbusters, as they say, Blue Hawaii, with the title song we just played, was picked by a group of movie critics and fan magazine pollsters as one of the top musicals of all time, right behind West Side Story. In fact, as far as the movies were concerned, Hawaii was hot in 1961. Besides Elvis and his musical, Gidget went to Hawaii as well. But soon, Elvis would become the king of movie musicals in the 60s, with a string of big-time productions, gaining big-time audiences worldwide. The success of Elvis in the movies did not surprise anyone, as Elvis had told many of his close friends of his dreams of becoming a movie star. And in fact, he said he loved the idea of making movies. Here, Elvis, at a news conference in late 1957, just before he entered the Army, is talking about movies, music, and his career.
How do you like the motion picture field, Elvis?
I think it's great. In fact, I like it better than any phase of the business other than the public appearances.
You'd rather be in movies than sing, shall we say?
Well, no, I'm not going to say that.
You don't want to commit yourself there. Eh?
But as a singer, Elvis was pretty successful in 1960, considering he had just gotten out of the Army and had not been able to do any public relations or promotion work on his records for over 2 years. In 1961, he had two big hits, It's Now or Never and Stuck on You. In 1960, music was in transition, as the top three songs on the Billboard Hot 100 that year defied description if you wanted to describe a genre. The number one song was by the darlings of the top 40 set, the Everly Brothers, Kathy's Clown. The number two position was by country singer Jim Reeves, a smooth ballad called He'll Have to Go. And in the number three position that year was a movie theme, an instrumental by Percy Faith and his big orchestra, Theme from a Summer Place. The 1960s Elvis was different in many ways. First of all, the famous Wiggle. Just before going off to Germany in the Army, He was asked about his erotic movements.
You've come in for a lot of criticism on your wiggling on the stage, and some people have called it suggestive. Do you mean it to be suggestive?
No, I've never thought of it as being suggestive. It's just my way of expressing the song.
You seem to be popular enough on your singing and appearance alone. Would you stop the wiggling if criticism grew too fast?
No, sir, I can't.
However, Elvis did do away mostly with the gyrations. However, to his credit, he really wasn't on stage that much since he was busy making movies in the 1960s. We're not saying the motion picture people in Hollywood did not want to use his sex appeal, because they did. They played it up quite well, especially in the 1964 movie that he made with what was known later as the female Elvis Presley. Ann Margaret had received that moniker from comedian Bob Hope, who had been taking her on several of his TV specials around the world. Ann Margaret was indeed dynamic, and she was very sexy, and she did move pretty well on camera. Some said that she had even a better wiggle than Elvis. Amid reports of an affair and a location for the movie in the City of Sin, Las Vegas, Elvis did some pretty good moves on camera. And, of course, he was matched by many of those with Ann Margaret. The fans ate it up. In fact, most of the movie reviews were pretty good, except for the New York Times, which said it was about as exciting as either Strawberry Sundae or Ice Cream Cone. I'm not sure which. But by and large, most people thought Viva Las Vegas was one of the better Elvis Presley movies. And, of course, true to the formula, there was an RCA release of the title song, destined to go into the top 10. Of course, we're talking about Viva Las Vegas.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living, the devil may care. And I am just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than the 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a new steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-arm bandits crashing. All those hopes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. Sir, Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Elvis, in 1960, had been under the protective custody of his unit at the Army base in Germany. They had watched over him like a brother or a son. But in March of that year, Elvis returned to the States, and he suddenly got a dose of realism about what it meant to be a matinee idol, so to speak, for millions of fans. Gordon Stoker of the Jordanaires tells of one incident that involved Elvis and a fan.
A guy walked up and said, "Hey, aren't you Elvis Presley?" And he hauled off and hit him because his wife had fallen in love with Elvis through his recordings and this, that, and the other. So we see, just this is a reason that he eats in his room, because Elvis doesn't like to be a part of confusion. As a matter of fact, Elvis does not like to be a part of arguments, fusses, or anything like that.
Through all of Elvis's career, by all accounts, he remained a well-mannered and polite man. Wayne Walker, also of the Jordanaires, tells a story about Elvis and his concern for others.
The story is told that he was walking out of Radio City Music Hall one day, and a janitor or someone there in the hall spoke to him, and he didn't hear him. Didn't hear him at all, and walked on, because they walk rather fast. You have to. Once you get started, you've got to keep rolling. And somebody mentioned the fact that he spoke, and Elvis, you know, they weren't putting him down or anything, but Elvis said, "Who spoke?" And they said, "Well, that man back there sweeping the floors." And he went back and spoke to him. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I've never heard him address any man, either from position or age, or any woman, period, that he didn't say yes, sir, or no, sir, or Mr. or Mrs., or thank you, ma'am, or thank you, sir. He's extremely courteous.
Stay tuned as we continue with the 2010 series of shows about Elvis, the man, his life, and his music. The series will run on a regular basis between now and August. It will tell the Elvis Presley story. The story of Elvis during the turbulent 60s, a decade of political upheaval. But for Elvis, it was a roller coaster ride of success and not so much success. Then a new career for Elvis as a Las Vegas icon. And also the story of him going back to his roots of country music in the 70s. Elvis would have been 75 this last weekend if he had lived. But in many ways, he never left us, as his popularity is still very strong here and around the world. This program was produced by Jane Swartley. I'm Jerry Pippin.